Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 8, Questions by King Parikshit, Text 21. Samplava Sarvabhutanam Vikrama Pratisankrama Ishta Purtasya Kamyanam Tri Vargasya Cha Yo Vidhi Samplava Sarvabhutanam Vikrama Pratisankramaha Ishta Purtasya Kamyanam Tri Vargasya Chayo Vidhi Samplava Sarvabhutanam Vikrama Pratisankramaha Ishta Purtasya Kamyanam Tri Vargasya Chayo Vidhi Samplava Sarvabhutanam Vikrama Pratisankramaha Ishta Purtasya Kamyanam Tri Vargasya Chayo Vidhi Sampala Sarvabhutanam Ikama Pati Sankama Ishta Purtasi Kamyanam Sri Vargasya Isho Vidhi Sampava Sarvabhutanam Kamasya Prisankramaha Isapurtasya Kamyanam Sivargasya Triyovidhi Sampava Sarvabhutanam Vikrama Pratisankrama Ishtapurtasya Kamyanam Sivargasya Yogi Sampala Sarvabhutanam Vikrama Pratisankrama Ishtapurtasya Kamyanam Vaishnavi. Isha Purtasi Tanyaram Srigarasya Sriyovidhi Sampavaha. The perfect means or complete devastation. Sarvabhutanam. Of all living beings. Vikramaha. Specific power or situation. Pratisankramaha. Ultimate destruction. Ishta. Performance of Vedic rituals. Purtasya. Pious acts in terms of religion. Kamyanam. Rituals for economic development. Trivagasya. The three means of religion, economic development, and sense satisfaction. Cha. Also. Yaha. Whatsoever. Vidhi. Procedures. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. Please explain unto me how the living beings are generated, how they are maintained, and how they are annihilated. Tell me also of the advantages and disadvantages of discharging devotional service unto the Lord. What are the Vedic rituals and injunctions of the supplementary Vedic rites? And what are the procedures of religion, economic development, and sense satisfaction? Purport. This is a long purport. So, purport. Samplava, in the sense of perfect means, is employed to denote the discharging of devotional service. And pratisamplavaha means just the opposite, or that which destroys the process of devotional service. One who is firmly situated in the devotional service of the Lord can very easily execute the functions of conditional life. Living the conditional life is just like plying a boat in the middle of the ocean. One is completely at the mercy of the ocean, and at every moment there is every chance of being drowned in the ocean by slight agitation. If the atmosphere is all right, the boat can ply very easily, undoubtedly. But if there is some storm, fog, wind, or cloud, there is every possibility of being drowned in the ocean. No one can control the whims of the ocean, however one may be materially well equipped. One who has crossed the ocean by ship may have sufficient experience of such dependence on the mercy of the ocean, but one can ply over the ocean of material existence by the grace of the Lord very easily without any fear of storm or fog. It all depends on the will of the Lord. No one can help if there is some unfortunate danger in the stage of conditional life. The devotees of the Lord, however, cross the ocean of material existence without anxiety because a pure devotee is always protected by the Lord. The Lord gives special attention to his devotees and their activities within material conditional life. Bhagavad Gita 9:29. Therefore, everyone should take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord and be a pure devotee of the Lord by all means. One should know, therefore, from the expert spiritual master, the advantages and disadvantages of discharging devotional service, just as Maharaj Parikshit asked his spiritual master, Srila Shukadeva Goswami. According to Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the science of devotional service, one should not eat more than he requires to maintain body and soul together. Vegetable diets and milk are sufficient for the maintenance of the human body, and therefore one has no need to eat anything more to satisfy his palate. One should also not accumulate money to become puffed up in the material world. One should earn his livelihood easily and honestly, for it is better to become a coolie for an honest livelihood than to become a great man in society by hook and crook. There is no harm if one becomes the richest man in the world by honest dealings, but one should not sacrifice the honest means of livelihood simply to accumulate wealth. Such an endeavor is harmful to devotional service. One should not talk nonsense. A devotee's business is to earn the favor of the Lord. Therefore, a devotee should always glorify the Lord in his wonderful creations. A devotee should not decry the creation of the Lord, defying him by saying that he has created a false world. The world is not false. Factually, we have to take so many things from the world for our maintenance. So how can we say the world is false? Similarly, how can one think of the Lord as being without form? How can one become formless and at the same time have all intelligence and consciousness, direct or indirect? So there are many things for a pure devotee to learn, and he should learn them perfectly from a bona fide personality like Shukadeva Goswami. The favorable conditions for discharging devotional service are that one should be very enthusiastic in serving the Lord. The Lord in his form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted the cult of devotional service to the Lord to be preached all over the world in every nook and corner. And therefore, a pure devotee's duty is to discharge this order as far as possible. Every devotee should be very enthusiastic, not only in performing his daily rituals of devotional service, but in trying to preach the cult peacefully by following in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya. If he is not superficially successful in such an attempt, he should not be deterred from the discharge of his duty. Success or failure has no meaning for a pure devotee because he is a soldier in the field. Preaching the cult of devotional service is something like declaring war against materialistic life. There are different kinds of materialists, such as the fruitive workers, the mental speculators, the mystic jugglers, and so many others. All of them are against the existence of Godhead. They would declare that they are themselves God, although in every step and in every action they are dependent on the mercy of the Lord. Therefore, a pure devotee may not associate with such gangs of atheists. A strong devotee of the Lord will not be misled by such atheistic propaganda of the non-devotees. But a neophyte devotee should be very cautious about them. A devotee should see to the right discharge of devotional service under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master and should not stick only to the formalities. Under the direction of the bona fide spiritual master, one should see how much service is being executed and not simply in the matter of rituals. A devotee should not hanker after anything, but he should be satisfied with the things that may automatically come to him by the will of the Lord. That should be the principle of a devotional life. And all these principles are easily learned under the guidance of a spiritual master like Shukadeva Goswami. Maharaj Parikshit inquired from Shukadeva correctly, and one should follow his example. Maharaj Parikshit inquired about the process of creation, maintenance, and destruction in the material world, the process of Vedic rituals, and the method of executing pious activities in terms of the supplementary Vedas like the Puranas and Mahabharata. As explained before, the Mahabharata is the history of ancient India, and so also are the Puranas. Pious acts are prescribed in the supplementary Vedas, Smritis, which specifically mention digging tanks and wells for water supply of the people in general, to plant trees on the public roads, to construct public temples and places of worship of God, to establish places of charity, where the poor destitutes can be provided with foodstuff, and similar activities are called purta. Similarly, the process of fulfilling the natural desires for sense gratification are also inquired about by the king for the benefit of all concerned. Om Gyanatimurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Shakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So after that purport, how much can I say? What is there left to say? Since Srila Prabhupada in the purport was talking about oceans and boats, I thought I would say a few words about that. In the verse, there's the word samplava, and in the synonyms, Srila Prabhupada describes it as meaning the perfect means or complete devastation. And these devastations that regularly take place, according to the Puranas, usually involve some kind of inundation or deluge. For example, after each Manvantara period, there is a devastation, and it involves the cosmic ocean, the Garbha ocean, rising and covering the earthly planetary system, Bhumandala. So And sometimes, like at the end of the sixth Manvantara, King Satyavrata was instructed by Krishna, who had appeared to him as a little fish, instructed that a big deluge, big inundation was coming, so that he should make a boat, and in that boat he should put, you know, the representatives of all the different species, you know, so that life could begin again. So that this word plava, which is part of samplava, plava can mean boat. Samashritaye parapalava plavam. So that means one who takes shelter of the boat of Krishna's lotus feet. For that person, the ocean of material existence, the ocean of birth and death, shrinks to the amount of water that you can put in a calf's hoof print. So another type of boat is provided to people by materialistic society. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that boat or those kinds of boats are described as ashmaplava, boats made of stone. So in his purport to that verse, Srila Prabhupada describes how, in his opinion, the American people are trying to solve the problems of life, but their leaders are treating them, because they are just giving them boats made of stone, and they're not going to float. They're not going to take people across the ocean of birth and death. Of course, Srila Prabhupada came to America in a boat, the Jaladuta. And I think he's making some reference to that in his purport, when he talks about how the ocean can be a very dangerous place, and those who have traveled on the ocean are aware of this. I think that's a reference from his own experience. Because when he first got on the Jaladuta in Kolkata and was traveling, they were traveling south, you know, there was some stormy weather, and he got seasick. He noted in his diary, you know, he experienced seasickness. So that's not very pleasant. So, you know, the Jaladuta continued around to a place in South India called Cochin, and he picked up his cases of Srimad Bhagavatam, because he was taking the Srimad Bhagavatam to the West. That's what he wanted to present. And then during the journey, which took 35 days at sea, he experienced two heart attacks, and he felt not well. But Krishna appeared in a dream to him. Krishna, in his various avatars and incarnations, was also in a boat. And Krishna was guiding the boat. And Krishna told Srila Prabhupada that, "Don't worry, you know, I'll get you through this." So the rest of the journey was peaceful. The Atlantic Ocean was very calm and peaceful. And Srila Prabhupada wrote, if the Atlantic had shown its usual face, you know, with huge storms, and you know, it was, I think, you know, September, when August and September, when Srila Prabhupada was going across, is hurricane season. So there, fortunately, there weren't many storms. So this, so Srila Prabhupada is saying that the ocean is very dangerous. And he's comparing material life to that. That at any moment, there can be some shipwreck, you know, there can be something that will happen. Tsunamis, winds, you know, he mentions these different things. So, but another point he makes is that actually it is possible to cross this ocean of material conditional life if one has the proper boat. And the human form of life, the human body, is considered to be a boat that can cross the ocean of birth and death. And the spiritual master is the captain of the boat. And the favorable winds are like the Vedic literature. So Srila Prabhupada also said once that in connection with the stone boats, he said, you know, the American people, they shouldn't accept the stone boat that is being offered to them, but they should accept the real boat, which is being offered to them in the form of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So we are on that boat. We're part of Srila Prabhupada's crew. We're inviting people to get on this boat and go on to the spiritual world. So I'll stop there. Does anybody have any question or comment? Yes. They're bringing you a microphone.
Hare Krishna, thank you. It's very nice how you were talking about the stone boat. We know how material society is like a stone boat, and Prabhupada gave us this beautiful transcendental boat of Krishna consciousness. And we've managed, you know, as a group of people to, most of our new temples and our farms and everything were while Prabhupada was on the planet, but we're still expanding. But I don't know how much of you actually watch following current affairs in the world, but, people like Bill Gates, for instance, is buying up all the farmland in America, and Chinese people are also buying up all the land in Hawaii. And Prabhupada actually wanted us to have places where people, transcendental places, where people, as the cities collapse due to the being a stone boat, that it starts to sink, this a doomed society, materialistic society, that we have places to offer and facility to offer to those people who are pious enough to take the step forward. And I wondered how we're going in that direction as a movement. If you could say something.
From what I can gather from what you've said, I'm trying to do that.
Okay, the question was, you know, in the light of current affairs, how are we protecting the future of our movement by having the only really solid investment, which is, you know, land where you have food and cows and homes for devotees, and how we can accommodate those people who take interest in Krishna consciousness in the future, that we can provide some facility for them rather than saying, you know, keep your job and just come to the temple, because jobs are becoming more and more scarce and the dollar is in trouble, right? Because yes, of all the stimulus checks, dollar may collapse, inflation. So there's a lot of problems like that. I'm just wondering what we're doing and who's talking about that, and if it's been, because I know amongst on the ground we're talking about those things, but we don't know what's going on at the top. And I wondered if you have some insight into how we're planning for the future.
Okay. So basically the question is that, you know, Srila Prabhupada wanted the movement to have places where people could come and live a simple and natural life. And when they become disappointed and discouraged by the Kali Yuga society, Srila Prabhupada predicted they'll come to us and they'll want, we should have communities, rural communities based on protecting the cows and farming, plowing the land, and living in a simple and natural environment. So we're all part of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. I mean, Srila Prabhupada had a vision, and it included so many things. It included having festivals and schools, a Bhaktivedanta Institute to do science preaching. He wanted those communities, Varnashram communities. He wanted so many things. And we're trying to do these things, and we've tried in many different ways to do these things. I know there have been attempts to have such communities. I've visited some of them, and they don't always succeed, but the devotees keep trying. So I think it's important to keep in mind Srila Prabhupada's whole vision for making the world Krishna conscious, and having demonstration communities where people actually do live like that, more in touch with nature, becoming self-sufficient in the sense of having the community providing its own food and everything else. So how to get that to happen is devotees individually do these things. Sometimes a group of devotees does them. Sometimes it's from the bottom up. Sometimes it's from the top down that these things are established. In terms of this purport today, Srila Prabhupada is saying, just be engaged in devotional service. Be enthusiastic about it. Don't get disappointed if initially there's not success. Just do it. So I think that's all of our position. We become attracted to some aspect of Srila Prabhupada's program. And then we, like myself, somehow or other, I was interested in the writing aspect of Srila Prabhupada's movement, his vision. He said, oh, yes, my disciple should write. Yeah, all right. So did that, got involved in the science aspect of it. And it's very difficult. It's not easy, but I just know it's something my spiritual master wanted. Just let me try and not be attached to the success or failure. Just keep active in devotional service. So if someone is especially attracted to that aspect of it, then let such devotees do things. And then how to do it? Well, that's another thing. We live in a society. Society is complicated. You know, you have to deal with people with different interests and different motives, and figuring it all out can be difficult sometimes. Anything else? Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.